Well, last week we had a young man from our congregation take some time at the end of the service and talk about his life in Taiwan. And he talked to us about what he saw as this kind of secular religion that's going on in Taiwan that he found absolutely fascinating. And you all must have loved it because everybody, I mean, there was a number of you that came up and talked to me and told me how much you appreciated his presentation. He did a very, very fine job. And I was so glad that he could be a part of that. But I had never really heard about this thing that they do over there about burning money. And so I did some research online and found out that, yes, they do indeed burn money. It's not real money. It's money that they bought with money. So I guess it's money, right? And he called it God money. It's actually part of a festival that they have. It's called Yulan. Yulan. And this festival lasts for a whole month. And for the whole month, you're not allowed to do certain things. Now listen to some of the things you're not allowed to do. You're not allowed to go out after midnight. You're not allowed to go camping. You're not allowed to swim in lakes, rivers, or the ocean. I guess a bathtub is probably okay. You're not allowed to move into a new house or an apartment. You're not allowed to buy a car. You're not allowed to whistle, especially at night. You're not allowed to hang wet clothes at night. Dry ones are okay. You're not allowed to open an umbrella in your house. Why would you? I don't know. You're not allowed to buy puppets or sculptures or dolls. You're not allowed to say the word ghost. You're not allowed to pat someone on the shoulder. This is very handy to you. If you're going to go to Taiwan and it's this month, do not go up to somebody and say, hey, how you going? They may not like it. You're not allowed to stand under trees or under bus stops at night. I mean, my goodness, what strange things that they do in this world. Can you believe it? But we do the same thing, don't we? For example, don't go under a ladder. Avoid black cats, especially at night. Don't step on a crack. Throw salt over your shoulder. Or the one I love, well, that hasn't happened to me yet, knock on wood, right? How many of you do that? How many of you have seen people do that? I mean, we do the same things. And what's interesting to me is how much the world has not changed since the time that Apostle Paul went to Mars Hill and saw that kind of stuff then, and we still have it all around the world today, even including in the United States today and including Vail today, maybe even in our congregation today. But Paul speaks to that. Paul speaks to that. Because today is probably one of the most significant speeches that Paul gives. Because today Paul's going to go to Mars Hill, or as was read in the scripture reading this morning, the Areopagus, the Hill of Ares, the Areopagus. Today it's known as Mars Hill. And it is still there today. I remember back in 1981, Jennifer and I went to Athens. We saw the Parthenon, we saw the Acropolis, and we saw Mars Hill. Was incredible. It's still there today. But what's interesting about Mars Hill is that when Paul went there, it was actually the seat of power. They called it the marketplace. But, you know, when we think of the marketplace today, I know what you're thinking of. You're thinking of Park Place Mall or something like that, or maybe downtown Vail, you know. But in Paul's... Okay, maybe you're not thinking of downtown Vail as the marketplace. No, okay, bad illusion. All right. So, but when Paul was talking about the marketplace, he was talking about the center of everything. It was the center of politics, it was the center of power, it was the center of agriculture, it was the center of religion, and it was the center of philosophy, it was the center of everything that was a part of their life. And when you went to Mars Hill, it wasn't just, you know, some hill sitting there. It was one some of the places where some of the greatest philosophers of the world came and talked and debated life and commerce and politics and all that thing. It was at the center of everything. And that's where Paul goes in our lesson today. He goes to Mars Hill. Now, I'm just going to say something for a minute here. And that is, where's our Mars Hill? It's where the center of politics and influence and religion are today. And that might be Washington, D.C. That might be Wall Street. That might be Hollywood. I don't know where it is, but we need to be going to those places. and speaking truth to those places and telling about the gospel of Jesus Christ in those places. There are a lot of people today that say, well, you know, religion and Christianity in particular, it's just that little sect over there, and just let them go and do their own little things and don't let them tell us what to do. Well, folks, let me tell you something. There are a lot of issues in this world today that science and technology and politics and Hollywood cannot solve. There are a lot of things in the world that cannot only be solved by the gospel of Jesus Christ and by going into the heart of man. I mean, you can have the greatest scientist, you can solve all the world's diseases, but you still cannot heal the heart of man. Man is a sinful human being. He's only concerned about himself. He's only concerned about how he can game the system, and that's all mankind. And I don't care what political system or what Hollywood can do or what science can do, you can only get and reach in the heart with the heart of God. And we should be going to the marketplace and preaching and making sure that our words are heard in the marketplace. So that's where Paul goes. He goes to the marketplace. And who was there? The Stoics and the Epicureans. Now, what's interesting is that the Stoics and the Epicureans had two totally different worldviews. The Stoics believed that the whole purpose of life was to get through life stoically, virtuously, following the rules so that when you got to the end of the life, you died well. And even as they had children, as they were growing up, they would tell them, someday you will die. And the goal of life is to die well. Now, the Epicureans were the total opposite. They were not there saying you should die well. They were saying you should enjoy life as much as you possibly can. Life is short. We should have the freedom to do everything we possibly could do in this world. We should enjoy it and partake of all the joys of this world. And that's what the purpose of life is. Now, what's interesting is that when Paul talks about the gospel of Jesus Christ on Mars Hill, they sneered at him. Some of them did. Yeah, well, that doesn't work for us. Yeah, well, within a few short 100 years or so, Christianity replaced Stoicism and Epicureanism as the dominant religious and political and powerful philosophical force in that area. Because while Stoicism and Epicureanism was there, they don't answer the great meanings of life. And we have that in our society today. We have people that say the meaning of life is just to follow all the rules. You see this in religions throughout the world. You just, to please God, you've got to do what God wants, and that's what he wants you. He just wants you to follow the rules. But folks, that is an empty religion. And the other side is empty too. Oh, just do everything you want to do. Don't just please yourself. That is the most wonderful thing about life, is to find your own life's pleasure. Folks, that is an empty road. Just this last week, we had a guy, an actor from a television show, Corey something. Yeah, and he died from a drug overdose mixed with alcohol in the toxicology report. He's 31 years old. I mean, is that the meaning of life, is just to get as much stuff as you can and to try to please yourself until you die? Or is there something more to life? Is there a God that loves you and wants to be a part of your life, wants you to worship him, and wants to give you a purpose and a joy in your life? Is there that out there? And when Paul preached that to the people in Mars Hill, it reached a deep need in their heart. And it became the dominant thing in that complete area shortly after Paul was gone. The Epicureans and the Stoicisms. But what did Paul say? This is key. What did Paul say? He went into Mars Hill, and he said, you know, I've been walking around your city, and I see all your gods, and I see all the good things that you do, but you've got this one tomb, and it's to the unknown God. Now, they probably put it there because they wanted to make sure that they reached all the gods. Oh, is there a god we forgot? Well, let's put a tomb for him. But Paul picks up on that. He said, now you made a tomb to the unknown God. Let me tell you who that unknown God is. He is Jesus Christ, who came and lived and worked with us and died and rose again. The power of the resurrection was his story. What he basically told them and what he tells us today is this. You know, when you say, step on a crack, break your mother's back, or when you say, find a penny, pick it up, and all day you'll get good luck, what does that really mean? I mean, who is it that's going to give you the luck? Who is it that's going to break your mother's back? What are we talking about here? Is it possible that there is a spiritual realm. Well, folks, if it's possible that it's a spiritual realm, doesn't it make a good idea for you to figure out who in the world is at the spiritual realm and which God you should be praying to and which one it is? Because if there really is a spiritual realm, if these things that you're talking about are true, then who is it that you're praying to? Who is it that's going to give you good luck? And Paul tells them, it's Jesus Christ. It is God himself, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, who came down from the heavens and became flesh to show us what God looks like, so that when you pray to all your gods, he came down in the flesh to show us. That's what it is. I am amazed sometimes. I see people, Christian people, you know, and they're saying something, well, you know, it hasn't happened yet. Or this happened to me recently. Someone said, well, this hasn't happened yet, knock on wood. And they looked around and they said, And I wanted to say, you know, the woods God do not. The wood God does not appreciate it when you knock on something that isn't wood. You've got to find wood. I mean, if you're truly going to try to find wood, you've got to go find out who the wood God is. Well, I'll tell you who the wood God is. It's Jesus Christ. And he came down in flesh and lived and dwelt among us. And he is the one that came and rescued us from all the silly things that we do and all the silly practices that we do. He is the one that stepped out of time to become flesh in us so that we could see what the wood God looks like, so we could see what the true God looks like. When Paul went to Mars Hill, he preached an incredible sermon that changed their world. It's an incredible sermon that can change this world, because this world is so much like Athens back then. And this world so much needs a Savior who stepped out of time to rescue us from all the silly things that we do. In his name we pray. Amen. Just to hear a still small